We're in Genesis chapter 23 and 4.
I always debate when you do an entire chapter in a Bible, do you read through the whole thing first or do you read through and comment as you go? There's pros and cons to both. If you read through the whole thing, it gives you great context. But when you go back through, you read half of it again as you're commenting. And if you don't read through it all right away to begin with, you don't get the full context. And so I'm leaning towards reading through the whole chapter first. We're not going to read through chapter 23. I'm just going to paraphrase a bit what happens here. This is Sarah's death, Abraham's wife. And the chapter is basically Abraham negotiating for some land to bury her in. And he does so. And he purchases it. What is his name? And Ephron. Ephron was the one that Abraham was dealing with. Verse 14. It's almost amusing to watch this whole bargaining system go back and forth here, because I think it was a custom that of being that way for that time frame of how they did this. Please let me purchase this land. No, no, no. What's a little land between me and you? Just take the land. And then he comes back. No, no, please let me pay you for. Okay, you pay me for the land. You know, it's like it's almost amusing how it all goes down. But I read a few different people's thoughts on this, and they said that's just how they did it back in the day. That's how they bargained in the Middle East for land, and I don't know, maybe they still do this day. But anyway, it was very smart of Abraham to purchase that land and not just take it, because it couldn't just be taken back then. He got a deed. He got a recorded deed. He purchased the land. He buried Sarah there, and later he would be buried there. So, anyway, that's chapter 23 in a nutshell. And then we come to chapter 24. This is where I'd really like to look at things a little bit more in depth. This is a great chapter. So let's just read through it. Chapter, verse 1, start here. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, and he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord, why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son.' And I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath.' And this day I came to the well and said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, "Please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink," and she says to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, "Please let me drink." And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels a drink also." So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, from whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists, and I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servants heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, clothing, gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. And then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel, for she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So there's a lot in this chapter. It's very interesting. And I just like to break it kind of down into two parts. I'd like to go through and look first at the natural realm, the practical realm, things that maybe we could apply to our own lives and learn from. And then I'd like to look finally at the spiritual realm of the whole chapter. So, first off, here is Abraham talking with his servant. And he's concerned about a bride for Isaac. Sarah and Abraham, they had Isaac at a very old age, and yet here the Lord in his mercy and his grace, he allowed Sarah to see Isaac grow into an adult, even though she had him at a very old age, and obviously Abraham as well. And Abraham would even see that son of promise become married. So he's working this out with his servant, and he's telling the servant, "Go back to the country where my family is and take a bride from there and bring her here." And he stresses twice, "You make sure that you do not take him back there." And why do you suppose that would be, that he was so dogmatic about that point? Well, the Canaanites, in which Abraham was dwelling amongst, not a real great track record there of being people that worship the one true living God. But God called Abraham out of that land where he came from. There was plenty of paganism there too. So I don't know that that was really the full and complete reason why he was so dogmatic for Isaac not going back to that land. I would suggest to you that it's because this was the promise that God gave Abraham and called him out of, and did not give him any further instruction to go back there ever. And so this was still a man acting of obedience, his faith in the one true living God, to obey him. And also, it reminds us of Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham came back from saving his nephew Lot, and he brings back all that spoil, and Melchizedek meets him and says, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand," and he gave him a tithe of all. And then we know that the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." And what did Abram say? "I am not taking anything from you." And why? Because you are never going to say or tell anybody else or let it would ever be the testimony that you made Abraham rich. But it was the one true living God that did that. And that was a big step of faith there, wasn't it? Because here was all the bounty sitting before him that he could have easily just loaded it up and hauled it home. And he didn't do it. He trusted the living God. And it was no accident that Melchizedek intervened right before that happened. Immediately. And so, don't go back there. The Lord is going to provide a bride for Isaac. You see, his faith in the one true living God, even still in this. And that's a wonderful thing to see, to think, Abraham's old here now. And when I read through this and thinking about what he was asking the servant to do, I was thinking, God help me to still be pressing on at whatever age I'm at and whatever years the Lord allows me to live. It's an incredible thing. I know the older and longer that I am a believer, the more you appreciate finding someone who is well advanced in years and they're still serving the Lord. Because unfortunately, I can tell you a lot more of the opposite. I'll never forget Dallas Block telling me at Storybook one year, he says, "I can count on one hand and have some fingers left now the amount of people that have in my life that are still going on for the Lord." You know, that's, it says something. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? I mean, this is real life. And unfortunately, there are people that fall away for whatever reason. I don't know. But they do. They do not go on and do well. But here is Abraham still doing well. And may God help us to go on and to press on. And that even though we fall, we get back up and we still press on. And we don't quit. That is not the mark of a believer. And it's not a good testimony. So, anyway, here he is. He's petitioning this servant to go back, get this bride for his son. And he trusted that the Lord's presence would go with him. The Lord's angel will go before you. Make your way prosperous. Just tremendous faith in these things. But here's a man, he's seen what the Lord can do. Think of going up on that mount with your son, your only son, in whom all these promises existed in, and the Lord telling you to offer him up there. And you do it. And to think of that whole scene where you come right to the point that you're going to do the deed. And then a voice comes, and you see the ram caught in the thicket. You see the Lord and how he provides. The Lord didn't trick him into something or fool him into anything. It was simple obedience to the things that the Lord had commanded, and there the Lord provided. I mean, that is a pinnacle moment, and not just in Abraham's life, but in all of Scripture. Of what happened there on that mount between those individuals. I couldn't imagine taking a child up to do such a thing. I don't know how I would respond to that. But what an incredible event that was, and it worked in Abraham, and it moved him. And so faith that God would go before this servant, to go before you back to that land of my family, and think of that too. It wasn't just to go back and get a bride from there. This was very specific. Like, this servant, probably, I don't know if he's ever even been there to know who Abraham or his family was, but to find a bride from that specific family amongst all those people, it's miraculous that this whole thing transpired and took place the way it did. But he had confidence in the one true living God that you would take a wife and it wouldn't be forcibly. And so the servant goes, and what does he do? He puts himself in a place of blessing. He didn't just go there. It wasn't throwing darts at a wall. They probably didn't have darts then. But he didn't just, you know, haphazardly stroll into town and say, okay, boys, what do you think? Where should we go? Where are we going to find this? Should we go to the Register of Deeds, try and find his family? You know, I mean, what are we going to do here to find Abram's family and look that up? Think about this. Is this what you would have done? He went out, he sat by the well. Why? Because he knew that the young women would come out there in the evening to draw the water. And so you see the sovereign hand of God in this, coupled with man's free will and exercising ability of his mind to make decisions, right? The two go hand in hand, all through Scripture. We're not programmed robots. The Lord does not create some for this and some for that, does he? You see that man has a choice. And he placed himself in a good position, didn't he? And he prays to the Lord. But he placed himself in this position, and I ask you, as I would challenge myself, where do you place yourself? Do we place ourselves in good places? Places where we can be blessed and encouraged and grow and these sorts of things, the things of God? Or do we place ourselves in the ways of pitfalls and temptations and despair? We have a choice, don't we? And he prayed. Here he prayed to the Lord. And he didn't just pray, Lord, please help me find a wife for my master's son. He didn't pray a prayer like that. He prayed a prayer that was very specific, didn't he? And I think he thought about this prayer too. You know, he had a long camel ride there. He could be thinking about these things, couldn't he? What do you think about when you're driving down the road aimlessly for... I mean, you ever thought about how many hours you spend sitting in a vehicle? What do you think about? We could. There's an opportunity of blessing, isn't it? Just an example. Unfortunately, a lot of people just spend that time with entertainment. We want to tickle our ears with something. I'm not saying that that's wrong to listen to music or just an entertainment, but we could use it for good too. I personally like to drive down the road in silence and just think. And it drives my kids nuts. Can't we listen to the radio, Dad? You can listen to the radio in your car. It's nice when they get that old. But where do we place ourselves? How do we pray? What do we think about in these things? This guy, he didn't pray a haphazard prayer. It was very detailed. He asked that not just for this girl to come out, and when he asked her for a drink, to give him a drink, but also that she would water the camels And I say, I think he thought about this because what would that show about this girl? I mean, if this girl was not just going to give, I mean, to give somebody a drink, that's a nice thing, but it's really not a hard thing to do. You got the water, John, you take a drink, right? Now, why don't you go water 10 camels? You know how many barrels of water that would be to draw out of that well? That shows something about her character, doesn't it? This girl would be industrious. And to do that of her own free will, that says something about her character, doesn't it? She's not selfish. She wants to help others, and she did it of her own free accord. She did not have to be coerced into this thing. It was all of the Lord. And what do you know? Here comes Rebecca. Before he even stopped praying, it says in his mind, here she comes. The Lord answered that prayer like that. And here she comes, and it all plays out. And she watered all of the camels, and he's obviously... I want you to notice one other thing, too. When she came out, again, the decisions of man here. Now the young... Verse 16. Now the young woman was very beautiful. 17, sorry. And the servant ran to meet her. He placed himself at that well. He knew that those young girls were going to be coming out there to draw the water, and he started praying. And before the prayer was done, here comes Rebecca, and when he saw her, he didn't sit on his duff. He got up, and he ran to her to see what she would do and how she would respond. Okay? Young people here who are not married yet, take some notes through this chapter. Think about these things. And so, he goes out to meet her, and she does the watering, and then it says that the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And the camels finished drinking, and then he brings out the nose rings and the bracelets, and he asks her, who are you? And then she says who she is. And what does that servant do? Can you imagine the joy in that servant when she says who she is? I mean, not only has she just fulfilled his prayer to a T, but now come to find out that she is kindred of Abraham. Nahor was Abraham's brother. I don't know if you caught all of this, the lineage here, but this is kind of weird in our society, but it would be like you marrying your cousin's child. That's the connection. You get it again in verse 48, I believe it goes through, or 47, right in there. 47, yes. But that's the relationship here. And so he's excited. And what does that do to him? What was his response? He worshiped. He worshiped the Lord. It's a natural response, isn't it? We just had a message on worship. And I was listening to another message on that subject here in the last couple of weeks. And someone traveled a long distance. He was asked to come to this place to share the word with these people. And they met him and they said, we were wondering, brother, if you could do some teaching on worshiping. And he laughed at them. Why would he laugh at them? He said, teach you how to worship? He said, that would be like me teaching you how to laugh. I can't teach you how to worship. Worship's a natural response to a grateful heart, isn't it? Well, there's a lot of truth to that. How do you teach someone how to worship? So he worshiped. He fell down, he worshiped, and he was brought back to their house. And when he came there, he testified. And it was very important for him to testify, because he was spiritually minded, see. It was more important to him at this moment that he would go over and recite everything that had just happened at the well. Have you ever been excited about something that the Lord has done in your life? They tried to give him a meal. Oh, I'm not going to tell you anything until I tell you what just happened. It was more important to him than eating. Did you catch that when we went through verse 31? I think it was. Nope, sorry, 33. I will not eat until I have told about my errand. This thrilled him that this was all happening and how this was all orchestrating before him. When was the last time that you had something like this happen to you? Do you remember how thrilling it is to have the Lord answer prayer, lead you in the right direction, give you some kind of leading and answers, perhaps, to some whatever it is that's going on in your life? Those things are exciting. And to see the hand of God in our lives, it's exciting. And it was important to him to testify and tell that the whole mission was a success here, that what he was out to do. And much of this is just recapping everything that just happened. Notice also this little statement in here. Verse 27, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master." And then again in verse 48, "And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son." So this way of truth seems to be linked to the will of God and his efforts in humanity. This way of truth. It's so encouraging that there is a truth, isn't there? Because boy, do we live in a world where truth is awfully hard to get to the bottom of. Now, think about Rebecca. There's oftentimes when you go through this chapter, people, there's a lot of talk about the servant and so forth, but also think about Rebecca here. Rebecca, she was just going about her normal routine in her life. Just going out another day to get water at the well. And all of a sudden, everything changed, didn't it? This guy comes who'd never been there, and this whole thing transpires. But again, she had herself in a place of blessing too. You know, I remember being a kid and you had some chores to do sometimes and you thought, you know, we've all been there, right? But when we obey those things that our parents ask us to do, you're in a place of blessing. You're obeying. And this brought blessing to her. She went out to get that water, and it brought blessing. And there wasn't much time to think about all this, was there? Consider that. The opportunity, the leading of the Lord came, and when the Lord leads, she recognized it, and she responded to it. And sometimes that's the way it is, isn't it? How do you react when the Lord brings something to your attention? There was a temptation here of delay, wasn't there? The mom and the brother, just let her stay here for a few days, just 10, and then she can go. The servants, no. I want to go. I've seen the Lord's hand at work here. Let me take her back and go. And they asked her, and she said, let's go. Sometimes there's not a lot of time to hash things out and think things through. But she went because she recognized and believed the Lord was in it. So anyway, just some thoughts in the natural realm about these things. Things that we can think about and perhaps apply to our own lives. Placing ourselves in a place of blessing instead of the opposite. But there's a lot of pictures here, and I don't want to end before we look at them. Because here you have a father sending out an unnamed servant to look for a bride for the son. And that's an incredible picture through this whole story, isn't it? You have the father sending the unnamed servant seeking the will of the master. And in John chapter 16, we read about some of the ministries of the Spirit of God. John chapter 16, 12, the Lord speaking here says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. That servant wasn't speaking on his own authority, was he? And he went there with all of Abraham's provisions, seeking the bride for the son. And he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. And isn't that what that servant did? When he got into that household, he testified of all that Abraham had and how glorious it was of what the father had in store for the bride. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So here's the servant searching on behalf of the son. When he finds a bride, as a chaste virgin, mind you, not what the church is called to be, he bestows gifts. He gave her gifts. There's another picture, isn't it? The Spirit of God, gifts, the church. He gives these gifts, bestows them on her, and again talks about all the glory and the splendor, all of these things. And the goal was to bring the bride to the son. And we think about the great marriage supper of the Lamb and how one day we will be with the Son. And just like that, Rebecca was called out. She came out, left her family. She came out of that. You know, we are a called out company, aren't we? That is the literal meaning of the church. It is a called out company. It's not just a body of believers. Bodies of believers exist in every religion. We are a called out company out of this world and its system and all that it entails, and we are called to the Son. And finally, one of the neater things I think that we see happen right at the end of the chapter is when Isaac comes out across the field to meet Rebecca. And they are coming to each other. And notice that the last time that we saw or heard anything about Isaac was when he was up on the mount to be killed, slain. And now the next time that we see him, just like the church, you see him in all of his glory. And we come together and we meet there to be with each other for all eternity. It says Isaac took her and he loved her. And what a day that will be. When we come together and we will forever be with the Lord. So there are some tremendous pictures here in this chapter that we don't want to miss. So things to think about. Things we can apply, good stuff back in Genesis. And I'm actually done before time. It's a miracle. So we'll open it up now for just a few comments.
Really appreciate the of work put into this, a lot of really good pictures. One thing that really stood out to me is when Abraham instructed the servant to go out, he didn't tell the servant any specifics to look for other than the family. He wanted it to be from, you know, that family. It was not to be of the people of the land there, and also to not have the son go with him. And the servant is the one that kind of sets the precedence of, when I ask for water, that the response will be, I will do that and more. And I thought about Matthew chapter 5, verse 40 through 42. It's talking about a little bit different scenario, but verse 41, we'll get to this. But if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. So don't just give what they're asking, give more. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. So not just doing what's asked of you, but to do more, to go above and beyond. So the servant understood that there was a characteristic, a specific characteristic that was beneficial in that sought after marriage relationship. And Rebecca's response to it when he asked her just to draw water for him, unprompted, was, yes, and let me also do this. And it's a great example to us too, that when we're asked to do something, and I know I struggled with this when I was younger, and doing the bare minimums. You know, this morning I'd shared about faith with works, faith without works, but we often get caught up in this idea that we need to do just the bare minimum, just a little bit to make sure that we're on the right step or the right path. And then we've done our time, moving on, next. But the example and the response here is really exemplifies something that doesn't really show up until the New Testament, which is when she was asked to do a certain thing, she went way above and beyond. You know, like Corey had mentioned, watering 10 camels, that's not a light task. That took a lot of work. And she wasn't asked to do that, but she willingly did that. And it became an answered prayer for the servant who was looking for some specific characteristics. And again, the spiritual application to this is, you know, we're called out, we're being sought after by the helper, the spirit, and the expectation is to go above and beyond what we are simply asked to do, to continue doing what we are asked of from him. Not just, you know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, but taking that to the next level of teaching and sharing the gospel, putting those things to work.
But I'm saying that that's not the primary thing. you might know somebody from childhood. So that person's not for you.
Abraham was definitely in tune with the fact that God was doing something special through his life and been promised over and over to him. And in this situation, verse 7, he shall send his angel before thee. I mean, this was a very, he knew this was a very specific, important thing, and trusted God to move in this situation. And he was conveying that to his servant. So it was definitely a household of faith we had here. To repeat the New Testament, his faith showed through all these things. Like Tori said, we just had the situation with, I don't know how long it was before this, but with the sacrifice. I mean, Abraham was definitely tuned in, aware that these decisions were important.
Lord, thank you for your word, and we're grateful. We see this picture here of your son and how excited he is and awaits the great day when his bride will be united to him. Lord, we can only imagine this scene, but we're so hopeful and so grateful that it is promised in your word. We look forward to that day. Thank you again for these types and pictures, shadows in the Old Testament that point to him, see him. It's thrilling. It brings us joy, brings us peace. Lord, we see more of you and your character in these things. So we just thank you for all that you've blessed us with, all that you're doing. Pray for your help this week as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.